A special night, and we're so excited about what the Lord has in store for us. Most all of you know Brother Jordan Smith, he and his wife Rachel, and Eli, and little girl that comes with them too. And so what a wonderful blessing their whole family is to our church. And God's hand is certainly upon Brother Jordan, and we're thankful for him. He's been working in the ministry here. He's helped in sixth grade up here, but then in the Kids Blast and different services here, there, and yon. It's just been a real blessing and always an encouragement. And more than that, just wants to serve the Lord and preach his word, and I'm so excited to hear him and see what the Lord has put on him, and we're so grateful for he and his family. And so I want you to just sit up, and we'll have a great time. Listen to the word of God. Brother Jordan, come preach to us. Thank you so much for being here tonight. Looking forward to a great time. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor. I'll give you that $20 after when you sit down. I thought you still had me muted. I'm sorry.
More than that. Did you say 20?
No, it's a joy to be in God's house tonight and to gather around His Word and just worship a little tonight. And I hope that's what you come prepared to do. Because if you come to hear me preach, I'm not going to give you anything I have to say. Because when I surrendered to the call, I told, we were on the way home, and I told my wife, I said, I never want to get up there and preach my opinion. I want to preach God's word. And so I hope tonight that you come to hear what God has. And if you want to, go ahead and turn with me to 1 Kings chapter number 19. 1 Kings chapter number 19. And I told Pastor, we went out to dinner, and I told him I'd get him a good joke, since that sounds like a good icebreaker. So I heard this one about these two young kids that had just got off the bus, and they were heading home from their bus stop. And the one kid looked at the other, and he said, "I don't know about that principal. He sure is one big goober, ain't he?" And she looked at him, and she said, "Do you know who I am?" He said, "Well, no." He said, "Well, I'm the principal's daughter." He said, "Well, do you know who I am?" She said, "No." He said, "Good." Took off. Amen. So, if you don't like my preaching, there was a joke. And if the joke didn't get you, there's yoo-hoos and honey buns. So, amen. Hopefully you'll enjoy something tonight. But I'll start reading here. And just to give you an idea as we come up to this passage, I want to look and tell you a little bit about where Elijah is. So Elijah, we know, is one of the most well-known prophets in the Bible. He's the one who, in verse 17, had let them know there was a drought coming. He's the one who prayed and met the need of the little woman in Zarephath. That just happened. And in the chapter right before this, he had just prayed down fire. So keep that in mind. He had just come off of many victories that he had seen God work. And I come to passage 19, and I want to deal with this thought. Dealing with discouragement. Just keep going. Verse number 1 says this. It says, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life as one of them, by tomorrow about this time. And when he had saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time, and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither into a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, "What dost thou here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very jealous of the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I, only am left. And they seek my life to take it away." And he said, "Go forth." Let's stop right there and pray. God, I just want to thank you, Lord, tonight for your word. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for giving me peace and settling me here, Lord. And Lord, no doubt many of us have dealt with despair. And Lord, as Preacher Herdman preached there Sunday, Lord, we're either going into a storm or in the middle of one or we're coming out of one. And Lord, as we face tomorrow, though we don't know what it holds, I pray, Lord, tonight we'd gain some principles. I pray, Lord, that your word would go out and it would plant in our hearts and it'd grow and we'd take it. And Lord, I pray that if anyone here is facing discouragement, Lord, that, Lord, you'd just give them a little bit of grace. Lord, you'd meet their needs. Lord, I'm thankful for who you are and what you can do. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'd just bless us now, empty us of self and fill us with your spirit. Meet with us for just a little while. Lord, I'm going to claim the promise that you said, if the Son of Man be lifted up, you'd draw all men to you. Lord, I pray that tonight, and I claim it in Jesus' name. Amen. The first thing I see here is I'm drawn to verse 5. It says, Elijah, one of the greatest prophets, requested that the Lord would take him home. And I don't know about you, and I've not been down to this depth yet, but I have faced some despair along the way. And I thought about, how did God meet his needs? And there's three points I want to talk about that we see in this passage. And the first one that I want to look at is God's provision. God's provision. God met every need that Elijah had. And I got to thinking about some of the things that I saw and how that they not only applied to Elijah then, but they apply to me today. And the first thing I saw is I saw that he said there was a cake baking on coals. So you say, "Jordan, well, what's coals and despair got to do with anything?" As I sat and I studied, I started thinking about coals and I started thinking about fire. When I think about fire, I think about a passion. You know, when we go through trials, it might be good that we ask God to send some coals our way, that we might get a passion to serve where he's put us. Not because it's easy, but because somebody needs help. Somebody's going to need our help. But we should ask for some of these coals. The next thing I see is that he gave him a cake. And these are, if you look at them, they not only meet the physical man's need, but they meet the spiritual man's need. And this cake, I started thinking about the Word of God. And I started thinking about over there in Matthew, how it said that Jesus answered him over Matthew 4, chapter 4. It said, it's written that man should not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You know, when we're going through despair and trouble, when we get in our prayer closet, sometimes we don't just need a word, but we need a word from God. Give somebody a verse along the way. The next thing I see is water. He had water in a cruise. And I thought about being spirit-filled and what it's like to go through a trial. You know, it'd be good if we had a burden. It'd be good if we had cake. But we also need to be spirit-filled. Spirit-filled, led by the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 says, "And be not drunk with wine wherein excess, but be filled with the Spirit." And I got to, I got, I I got to study, and I thought, Lord, that's, you know, that's good, and I want those. When I go through trials, I want to have a burden to serve the Lord, and sometimes we lose that. We lose sight of that. And I need a word from God. And I need to be filled with the Spirit. And I almost started to go on to my next point. And God said, there's one more provision I want to show you. And so I backed up and I read it again. And it says that he came and he sat down under a tree. I started thinking about that. When I'm going through despair, I'm struggling. Sometimes I get in a pity party. I'm not a holier than thou preacher. I got struggles just like y'all. But God will take me back to a tree. Sometimes, Pastor, He'll take me back to a tree, and that's where I can find rest. Because I know that my burden's nothing compared to what Jesus went through. And so, if you're here and you're going through some things, pray for the coals, pray for the cake, pray for the water, but don't forget to go back to the tree. The tree where it was all paid for. My sin was paid for. Your sin was paid for. And when we go back there, we'll be able to help others. Because you forget why you're tired. I see God's provision that we can have when we go through discouragement. But then I started thinking about God's protection. God's protection. You know, Elijah here, it says, and go with me to verse 9 through 12. It says, and he came thither unto a cave, and he lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, what dost thou here, Elijah? Now we know Elijah is running for his life. We know that Jezebel said, hey, I'm going to send people, and we're going to take your head. No doubt he is scared out of his wit's end. And I thought, well, I see what you did there, God. You gave him a cave. You gave him a cave, God. That's his safety. But I want to read on, because the safety that I see here is not the cave. But the safety that I see here is actually walking and talking with the Lord. You see, God gave me this today, and I was thinking that cave was a false sense of security. And how we as Christians sometimes we get a false sense of security. We've got things that we hold on to, and they're good. I mean, don't get me wrong, they're good. And they have their place, and I'll give you some examples here in a minute. But nothing can take the place of walking and talking with Christ. Absolutely nothing. And so when you're going through discouragement, you're going through despair, let me show you. Here's why the cave was a false sense of security. It says this, go with me, I believe it's verse 10 and 11. It says, and he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left. And they seek my life to take it. And he said, go forth, stand upon the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. Let me just stop right there. I have watched enough Gunsmoke and Westerns with my papaw to tell you that if an earthquake is coming, you do not want to be in a cave or a mine. Nothing good is going to happen. And so I got to listen, are you honest to pay? I'm preaching to you some Gunsmoke. Just Gunsmoke philosophy here. Listen, it said that this came and the mountain, it said the mountain, it break in pieces and the rocks before the Lord. God had to break that false security. But he was safe. And why was he safe? Because he was literally walking and talking with the Lord. And that's where his safety was. And you know, when we're discouraged, a lot of times it's easy for us to find a shelter somewhere. We'll get a false sense of hope. And I just wrote down some examples. And don't, please hear me out and don't get me wrong. These in and of themselves are not bad things. But things like Christian schools and devotional books. If we look at Christian schools, I'm not against Christian schools. My wife works in a Christian school. Our kids go to a Christian school. But if I depend alone on a Christian school to lead Eli and Marie to Jesus, that's a false stronghold. There's not safety in that. The only safety I've got is leading them to Jesus. Devotionals are good. They help me grow. Sometimes they help take something that's hard and chew it up a little bit to help me eat. But if I live on a devotional alone and not this word, I'm missing the point. Because a devotional is nothing without the Word of God. And when you're going through a difficult time, don't get me wrong, there's some great tools. We've got great tools. There's great blogs out there. I think of Sister Farmer and her blog. There's many times that I've gone to that and it's been a help and encouragement to me. But in and of itself, it can't take the place of the Word. But now I'm glad throughout her, you can look at her blog, and I didn't mean to put you on the spot. It's filled with God's Word. But in and of itself, she can't do it without the Word. And so I came to tell you, I started thinking about some safety. And my safety is God. When I'm discouraged and I feel like I can't go on, God is my strength. God is my helper. And without this Word, I wouldn't know it except for the Holy Spirit told me. But the Word tells me. And so I started looking, and I thought, and I just got a few passages of Scripture. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to read them to you. But over in Deuteronomy 20, verse 4, it says this, "For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies, to save you." 2 Samuel 22, 3 and 4, "The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies." Psalms 34 and 17, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth." Listen, right there is enough to stop and shout for a little bit. I'll be honest, I'm not worthy to call him master. I'm not worthy to pick up his book. But he saw fit to save me. And I'm telling you, when you're discouraged and going through despair, grab his word and cling on to it. Aren't you glad that he hears you? I'm not praying to a coffin. My God's risen. The Bible tells me that he's sitting on the right hand of the Father. I can rejoice in that. I can go on in that. Even when I'm discouraged, he's good. He's good. He meets my needs. Psalms 34, 19. "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." Aren't you glad of that? I tell you, when we start praying, we should claim some of these promises. Now, careful, because you're going to go through battles. I was telling Brother Marty and Eugene before we started, ever since Pastor asked me to preach Sunday, I fought hell. I mean, it had me backed up. It was like I'd get in my prayer closet and I'd get in his word and I'd pray, and I couldn't find peace. I couldn't find comfort. My heart wasn't where it wanted to be. I couldn't get settled on what God wanted me to preach. And so I won't forget. I was praying, and of course I prayed Sunday night that God give me what He wants, and it didn't work out. And I prayed Monday night, God give me what He wants. It didn't work out. And I'll be honest, I'd started Bible college back last night, and I was just discouraged. You ever feel like you got too many pokers in the fire, brother? Listen, I felt like I had too many pokers in the fire. And I was like, God. And I finally, I think God was just teaching me a lesson. It's good that sometimes He'll teach you a lesson, won't it? But I was just praying, and finally I got to go into bed. It was about 10 o'clock, which for some of y'all might not be late, but when you've got a 4-year-old and a 6-month-old brother, 10 o'clock, I thought the daylight was about to start poking out. So I was tired, and I just went to bed, and I prayed this. I said, God, I can't do it. It's not in me to do it. But if You'll give it to me, I'll do it. It was about 6 o'clock that morning. I woke up and I had this sermon on my heart. He told me where to go and He told me what to study. And so I'm thankful for that. Anyways, I squirrel. I don't know how I got there. But let me rein her back in. I'm glad that I've got a God that I can call on, and He's my protection. And when I'm going through despair and I'm discouraged, He's my protection. He's there. He's never left. And I found Him faithful. And I guess that's where I wanted to say with that is He's faithful. And I'm just here to testify that tonight. And you see, I see not only that He provided Elijah with provisions, but he also provided him with protection. But my last point is this, that God had a plan for Elijah that Elijah didn't know. And you walk through this passage, and I'm just reminded, you know, God asked him, at first he prays, I want to die, and God asked him in verse 9, he said, you know, Elijah, what doest thou here? And he says, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets, and even I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And we see that God comes in fire and an earthquake and wind, and then a still small voice. And He asks him again in verse 13, at the end of verse number 13, He says, what dost thou here, Elijah? He says this, I've been very jealous of the Lord God of hosts because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left. Basically, he was saying this. I'm just going to give you Jordan theology. God, I don't think you know what they're doing. They're trying to kill me, God. God said, what are you doing here? God, they're trying to kill me. Go. God said, go. But God, they're trying to kill me. And I saw, you know, I looked at verse number 9. It said that the Lord gave him a word, and it was enough, or verse number 8, that it was enough to carry him for 40 days and nights. So I thought about the time that he was in despair, because his heart's still there, right? We see it in verse 14, his heart's still there. He's still discouraged. And God continues to tell him, go. But this time he gives him a little more detail. But now he had to go through, at least that we know of, 40 days and 40 nights of struggling before God gave him an answer. At least, it could have been more. It says this, read with me verse 15 and 16. It says, and the Lord said unto him, go. Return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. Skip with me on down to verse number 19. So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. And he went with the 12, and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. Elijah had to go through verse 1 through 14 before the Lord told him the plan. And you might be going through a hard time tonight. You might be in your storm, and you have no clue what God is doing it for. But regardless what you're going through, I'm reminded that there's a generation behind me. And I think about it a little, probably a little more than you guys do in your prayer life, but I'm sure you do too. But those kids, those are the next generation coming up behind us. Mama, Daddy, those girls, they're that generation coming up behind us. And they need some Elijahs to look up to. They need some Elijahs who've lived by faith, walked by faith. And even when they were discouraged, they kept going. Why? Because it's the right thing to do? Yeah, but not only that, because God said to. Because God knows. And we can trust Him. But I started thinking about this generation coming on. And I wanted to challenge you tonight. Mom, Dad, those kids are looking up to you. And I'm thankful for some, you know, some securities that we've got. And I'm thankful for Christian schools and things. But it starts at home. I love to teach kids blast. And I'll take every minute you give me with them kids. I'll take every minute. I'll take every Sunday school. I wouldn't trade some of the times that God's met with me when Brother Marty was teaching that sixth grade class. You see, some of those times were the times where God was dealing with me to preach. And he don't know it, but some of those were God was ministering to my heart and showing me exactly what I needed to do. And these times with these kids, and there's a generation coming on that needs to see what God's got. There's somebody who we need to save the mantle for and cast that mantle on. There's a generation coming on behind you. Grandma, Grandpa, you say, well, listen, there's not much I can do. There he is. You can get more done in prayer than I can do in years. I'm telling you, we serve a God who says that he can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. So I challenge you tonight, grandparents, pray for them grand youngins. Mommy and daddy, pray for them grand young or them children. If you got grand youngins, pray for them too. But there's a generation coming on, and you might not see it now. You might not know why you're going through a struggle. There's been times I go through a storm, and I got no clue why God sent me through that. Because at the time, all I felt was pain. Still to this day, I can look back on some of the stuff that God's brought me through, and it still hurts and stings. But God took me through it so I could help somebody else go through it. And so I challenge you tonight that even though we don't know what God's plan is, He does, and He's faithful. I'm reminded in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, it says, "For I know the thoughts that I have, or that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." And Romans 8:28 says this. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to His purpose." The key to that verse that sticks out to me is this: to them that love God. Because sometimes it ain't easy. You know, I wish when I got saved and I looked at some of these gospel tracts that it said sunshines and rainbows, you know. That'd be good. That'd be good. But sometimes if it wasn't for the dark things, some of the storms, I'd trust in myself a little too much. Sometimes it's good that God puts us through some things so we'll rely on Him, that we do know that God is our provision. And we do know that God's our protection. But later on, we're going to see His plan one day. And one day, it could be soon, we'll stand before Him. And will we know why we went through something? I don't know. I don't know that it'll matter. But I know that it'll be perfect. And I know that I can trust Him. So if you're here and you're discouraged, I just want to, I come to tell you that you can trust Him, that I found Him faithful, and that He's my provider. He's my protector. And He knows the plan. And so I just want to ask you, you care to come and play just a song of invitation? Do you care to play tonight? I know this is a little different. But I got to thinking tonight, if we could really grasp a hold of this, I'm talking in walk by faith. Truly walk by faith. Because that's what it's going to take. We're in hard times. With COVID, there's so many regulations, you can't get to certain people. But we've got our people that we can go to. Right? I don't know your family, but you know your family. And I'd about go through here and I'd about say that every person here knows somebody in your family or in your friends that's lost. And it would be good if we just grasp a hold of this. And even if we're discouraged, if we really grasp God is our provider, God's our protection, and God has a plan. If we could reach that lost person, if we could truly just walk by faith and reach them, not talk about doing it, but actually reach out to them this week, what God could do, what God could truly do. And I want to do that. I want to trust in His plan. He's holy and He's worthy of my honor and praise. And He's worthy of my utmost. But I want to fully surrender everything I've got for Him. And so I ask tonight, my prayer is this. If you're going through discouragement, that you'd claim some of these promises. But then next, that we'd reach out. We'd reach out because they're going through discouragement just like we are. But the difference is we have hope and they don't. So as she begins to play, I'm not going to ask you to come up or come forward because I feel like this applies to all of us. But I'd ask that you'd pray that God would put somebody on your heart and that He would give you that burden, those coals, that passion when you're going through that trial, that you could reach somebody. That He'd give you a spirit-filled walk when you're going through your storm. And that maybe He would put a verse on your heart that would lead somebody to Him. Maybe you're here tonight and you're just discouraged. And maybe it'd be good that we go back to Calvary. Go back to that tree. Just look and see who God is. He's worthy. Even on my worst days, when I've been at the bottom of the barrel, I remember weeping in a hospital bathroom. I mean, I was at my lowest low. My heart was broken. He was still worthy. He still died just for me. So it's worth going on tonight. It's worth going on. God didn't ask Elijah to go on. He told him, keep going. Keep going. So I ask you tonight just to pray. I'm going to ask Pastor if you come. And I'm just going to hand the invitation off. But it'd be good just to know that we can trust Him. Tonight, if you're not trusting Him, I pray, Lord, that you just commit your heart to Him. Thank you, Pastor.
Continues to play. I want to ask you a couple of questions. How many of you have found Him faithful so far? You know, sometimes we act like we haven't even seen the Lord do anything in our past. If somebody was just watching us through the current struggle, you'd think God didn't have a track record. But He's gotten you through everything. exactly what he preached about, got him through everything. And then somehow we think he might not through this one. He will be faithful. Tonight, let's do the invitation like this. If you could, if you're able to, stand together. If God spoke to your heart, we heard a great message. I so much appreciate it. It spoke to my heart, moved me to do some things, make some decisions. If God spoke to your heart and you'd like to come to the front pews are open. You're welcome to come to those while she continues to play. If somebody's here tonight, not sure they're saved, I know almost all of you, but that doesn't mean I know you inside like the Lord does. Maybe there's somebody here, you've been doubting it for a long time, and you're not sure that you're saved. If that's you, would you just step out and come, and on this Wednesday camp meeting night, you just let somebody take the Bible and show you how you can be sure Christ is your Savior. Brother Daniel's right here in the front, be glad to take the Bible and much time as you need it and just show you that. Anyone at all, you're welcome to come. Maybe somebody else, you've been going through a deep valley. You've been under that juniper tree as well. You thought that cave was a place that would secure you. But then when the rocks started shaking and the rumbling started happening, you realized that you were going to need more than that. You were going to need a walk with the Lord. If that's you tonight and the Lord has spoken to you, would you not leave the room before you do business with God? She's going to play another verse. And then if God's spoken to you, come if you like. If you'd like to pray there in your seat, that's fine. I just want you to do business with the Lord. Father, thank you for a place to be tonight. Lord, where else would we want to be than somebody's going to open your word up and preach it to us and then some good singing and some fellowship. Lord, what a joy to be in your house. Bless us now as we go. I pray that you would meet our every need, and we'll thank you for all that you do. And Lord, we're certainly glad that you've been so very, very good to us. And Lord, we just want to say we love you. Amen and amen. Thank you. May look this way. Here's, I'm going to ask Brother Daniel, if you didn't mind, if the men's quartet doesn't care, would you all come back and sing that first song again? And now if you ask him in front of everybody, about like asking Jordan Sunday, hey, do you mind preaching? Well, yes, I do. So you can be seated if you want to. The ushers are back there. Here's what we do. The ushers are back there with the offering buckets. You see one of them before you go. The men are going to sing, and then when they get done singing, you can go into the home builder's classroom right there, either where Brother Larry Russell is or this door, either one. There is Yoo-Hoo's, honey buns, and then water bottles as well. So if you're more of the conscientious type, then you can have a water bottle, whatever you want. And then I'd like to challenge you to this. After they sing, well, you're dismissed, but then after that, talk to somebody who you haven't talked to in about 3 weeks. Find somebody, okay, haven't got them lately, and then just fellowship a little bit. Jordan Smith got done preaching at 7:55. Rachel must be some kind of lady and said, listen, Buster, if I'm going to come to church, you're not going to keep me over. What a good lady. Thank you. God bless you. Men, sing for us, and then you're dismissed.
Long before the fall of man, God designed a master plan. He exchanged the sinner for the sinless one. Jesus left his throne on high, came to earth to bleed and die. He said, Father, not my will, but thine be done.
He is mine.
Beyond all measure, He is mine. I have pardon full and free through the blood He shed for me. Saved forever I shall be. He is mine. Through God's mercy and His grace, He's prepared for us a place. Words cannot describe the matchless beauty there. We will praise a perfect Lamb, King of kings, the great I am. He has made the joy of heaven ours to share.
He is mine.
Beyond all measure, He is mine. I have pardon full and free through the blood He shed for me. Saved forever I shall be. He is mine.
He is mine.
I am blessed beyond all measure. He is mine. I have pardon full and free through the blood He shed for me. Saved forever I shall be. He is mine. Saved forever I shall be.
Dismissed.
Whose broad stripes and bright